point this morning, so I'm going to... Is that cheesy? But, yeah, it's... I really want to... In a sense, I feel vulnerable this morning because my set line, I don't know what it is, if it's just... You know, it's funny, I'm preaching on the Holy Spirit, but it's not something I've got it all together in. You know, I'm not waxed this and I know it. It's something I'm always seeking God. And I want to carry on in a sense of what Chad shared last week, Sunday. Do you all remember what he shared on? Okay, Quinton was listening. Keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And he was just sharing about, you know, just where do we find our affections? Where do we find, are we walking in the flesh or are we walking in the Spirit? And if you're walking in the flesh, it's that which doesn't bring life. But if you're walking in the Spirit, it's that which is life. And there was that, what Chad was sharing on is really where your root is, there your fruit's going to be. So if you're rooted in the things of flesh, you're going to reap the things of the flesh. And if you're rooted in the things of the Spirit, you're going to reap the things of the Spirit. And so Galatians 5, Chad shared with us, and I'm just going to touch on what he shared a little bit, just to give us a bit of background. So Galatians 5 and verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." Oh, there we go. "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." Okay, in other words, the rest. "Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But," okay, this is the but side. So if you're rooted in those things in the flesh, that's what you'll have. But if you're rooted in the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love, is joy, is peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness. And against gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. And as I was, just as we read that, it says there isn't a limit. There's no law to that. So in other words, when God gives you the fruit of the Spirit, there's no limit. It's like you can go all the way. If long suffering means long suffering, and it's long suffering, and it's long suffering, and it just carries on. So you can walk with people and say, well, you know, how many of us like kindness? I mean, that one, it's easy to be kind to someone. I mean, it's just a once off. But long suffering, I mean, or patience, you know, or, you know, those things take a bit more than just an act of kindness, maybe. But you know what? It's not the fruits. It's not called the fruits of the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, you eat of that fruit, it's got all those things in it. You can't be selective. I'll just take kindness and spit out long-suffering, you know. It's all one. And that's what God's given us. He's given us the fruit. But you know what the amazing thing is it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruit of your personality or your character. Okay, it's the fruit of the Spirit, which means it is abnormal to be long-suffering with old David here. It's abnormal to the world. But because there should be a brotherly love, I should be able to do it that he requires. Hey, Benny, I really need you here this time. I should have the ability to disciple him over a long period of time. Why? Because I have the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're not selective in the fruit, okay? It's because it's not according to your personality. It's according to the Spirit of God that works in us and through us. Amen. So you guys with me? Okay, but I'm not going to talk about the Holy Spirit in us and what he's doing through us. I'm just going to touch on it because my message this morning is really partnering with the Holy Spirit. And that's basically the title of my message. Because really, it's really arrogant of us to think that we can go and extend the kingdom of God without God. You know, I need the Holy Spirit to do anything. I'm useless, you know. God didn't choose me because of my amazing looks or my personality, you know. No, he didn't. I know he didn't. But the thing is, if God had done that, it would have been on a merit factor. Benny's got some things there I can use, you know, but he didn't. It's because he chose me that he's given me his Spirit to do the work. So with his choosing comes the anointing, okay? So I want you to know, it's not by who we are. We need to get that. We need to get over ourselves. God didn't choose you because of anything. He chose you because he chose you. And because he chose you, he'll make it work. All right, so don't put too much high emphasis on you this morning, because I want us to trust the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want us to get to the place where, God, I'm totally dependent on you, because only you can do this work, not me. Okay, so it's good to be there. It's good to be in that place of weakness. In fact, I'm feeling like that a bit today. I'm feeling like, oh, God, I feel in a sense that how can I bring this word this morning? And so I don't want to share it arrogantly. I really want to share, God, what are you saying? You know, how do we trust you in your spirit this morning? And so I want to just first touch on what a few things, you know, about the Holy Spirit in us first. What is the Holy Spirit's work in us? Because the Holy Spirit, you know what, is doing a work in us who believe, but he's also going to do a work to those who don't believe. And I'm going to use scripture to back that up. Okay, so I'm going to just give you little eight little points for those who love taking notes, just on the Holy Spirit's work in us. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is our helper, okay, who teaches and reminds us, John 14:26. But the Holy Spirit is the source of revelation, wisdom, and power. And that's in 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And that's John 16:13. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, okay? That's all of us. We've all been equipped with spiritual gifts, okay, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay, and that's in Ephesians 1 Corinthians 12. Then the Holy Spirit is a seal. He's a guarantee in our lives, okay? He's a guarantee. He's the one who affirms us. Hey, we're sons of God, and it's the Spirit within us that cries out, Abba, Father. Hey, God, I know you, my daddy, and there's a seal in that. There's a guarantee of knowing. The Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. He intercedes. Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit sanctifies and enables us to bear fruit. And that's in Galatians 5:22, the one that I just read. But I don't want to share this morning really of the Holy Spirit, what he does in us. I want to speak about what the Holy Spirit does through us, okay, and how we witness to the world. Because, you know, one of the things that we said in Acts was that when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses. That's what he said to them. And remember what Jesus said to the disciples? Wait for me in Jerusalem. Wait there. Don't do anything. Just wait. Because God knew that you're not going to be able to do anything. He knew that those ordinary fishermen weren't going to be able to do anything. So there he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. But if you think of it, think of the disciples. They had witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection. But that wasn't enough in itself for Jesus to say, okay, now you've seen it. You've seen the reality. Now go and witness. He said, no. Wait for my Spirit before you become a witness. That's saying something, isn't it, church? It's saying something. It's not just eyewitness accounts that's going to be enough. But it's going to be God working in you and through you that's going to empower you to do it. Okay. And the reason this is important is because I almost feel like as we look at the Holy Spirit's work in us, it's almost like a sense that we got to be totally dependent on him and not on our own strength. We can't rest in me. It's not you. You can't do anything. I can't do anything. But it's the Holy Spirit. And I want us to go quickly to John 16. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. I'll give you that one, Paul. Is it? Okay, good. It says, okay, now, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Okay, so let me just stop there. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Now, let's face it. If you're one of those disciples, you wouldn't think, I mean, I've had Jesus with me all the time. I mean, whatever I'm doing, am I doing this right? You know, am I thinking right? I've got Jesus there. But Jesus is saying something. He's making a statement. He says, it's actually to your advantage that I go. What's the difference? What's the difference Jesus being there versus him going and the Holy Spirit coming? The advantage is that it's not God working from the outside and saying, well, this is how you do it. This is God working through you, in you. And that's the difference. Okay, so you grasp that. You understand. So you understand when Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go. I'm going to go to the Father. I'm still doing the work. I'm going to be interceding to the Father on your behalf. So Jesus, our advocate, he's the interceding high priest for us. That's amazing. But my Spirit's going to come, and he's going to do a work through you to the world. Okay? That's amazing. I don't know about you, but it's what like gives me, God, I know I'm not doing this in my own strength. I can't. I don't have the ability. But it's to my advantage, Jesus, that you go. And so here, he says this. Let me carry on. Sorry, I keep forgetting. We've got the over here. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world. Now, I just want to stop there. And this is what I want to, almost in a sense, as we look at this, I want to say this first. It's not our job to convict the world, okay? It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who does the conviction. I'm not there to convict anybody. I'm there to be, as Jesus said, a witness to the world. But I want to say this, but I feel there's a strong emphasis that we need to just kind of bring here this morning. So through us, remember Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come in us, and we're going to be a witness through us to the world. Okay, so he's going to come. His job to the world is to what? Convict, right? But how does he convict? Through us. Okay, so this is a weird one, because you know I'm not the one who convicts, but the Holy Spirit convicts. But he does it through me. Okay, so what I felt is just the emphasis this morning, our lifestyle, our actions, our words that we speak, does it carry the presence of the Holy Spirit that when you're with people, there's a sense of conviction within them that even if it's without words, that they sense that my life is not right? Is there a sense that when they look at your marriage and they say, but that's how marriage should be, there should be a sense of conviction? When they look at your kids, they say, well, that's something of obedience. I understand those kids honor their parents. Is that, you know, does a conviction set in their hearts? Does your life, how you represent Jesus in your workplace, guys, even when it gets tough and your boss is difficult, do you represent Jesus, that he feels the conviction? It's hard. I'm there. I'm in the workplace. I understand what it's about. But there's a sense of the Holy Spirit still has to convict. Okay, and I want us to grasp this, because conviction is so important. We kind of living in a society. Well, before I don't want to go there yet. I want to get there. I'm going to make a point now. But your life, your message, your conduct should bring people to a conviction. And this is the conviction. What is going to convict the world? What is he going to convict the world of? Where are we? There we go. Of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That's quite heavy. So the Holy Spirit's working through me, and he is going to convict the world through me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, the reason I'm making this point is I almost feel like there's this. If you look at today's day and age, you look at the gospel being preached. I'm talking about like the big churches that are preached on TV. A lot of that stuff that's preached, if you really think of it, especially prosperity gospel, all that, is it really preaching about sin? Is it really preaching about righteousness, right living? Is it really preaching about judgment? Think of it. How often do you see it? I'm not saying all the churches, but hear what I'm saying. Is that the message being preached often? It's not. And so there's a sense of, okay, so is that the gospel? If the Holy Spirit's working through me, there should be a sense of understanding this. But I think it's our view of sin. You see, the problem with sin isn't that it makes us bad, okay? The problem with sin is that it kills us. And if we carry that knowledge, that understanding, because Jesus said the wages of sin is what? Death. Didn't say the wages of sin makes you a bad person. If that was it, that was fine. That's all, you know, you can still be a better you. But the wages of sin is death. That is the consequence. And so sin is so, in a sense that you're warning people that this is what sin is doing. And so the Holy Spirit needs to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, the reason I'm making this statement, because I feel we're living in a time. Okay, let's put it like this. The Holy Spirit, we know his work, okay? We know what he's called to do. Do you know there's a spirit of the Antichrist at work too today? Do you know that? What is the spirit of the Antichrist? Would you agree if the spirit of the Antichrist is busy at work today in the world, would you agree with me that his purpose would be to kind of be against the things of God, the Holy Spirit? Would you agree with me? It would be trying to stop that work. Now, let me give you an understanding here. Okay, so he'll try and counter the work of Christ. The spirit of the Antichrist will counter the work of Christ. And so you think of a word now today that's very accepted, and it's kind of become caught on into the culture. Would you agree with me the word tolerance is very accepted virtue today? And understandably, in a lot of ways. I mean, we all want to live in a tolerable society. We all want to live in a society where we embrace, we don't hurt people, we don't believe in terrorist attack. We don't believe in abuse against women and children, you know, because we want to be a tolerable society. And that in itself is good, okay? But the problem with tolerance, it doesn't just have one face. The problem with tolerance, it encompasses so much more than just that. If tolerance was just accepting, then that would be fine. But the problem with tolerance, it carries so many more things than just tolerance. And the Bible warns us. The Bible doesn't mention the word tolerance, but it does say this in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, they say peace and safety. Now, that's what tolerance really calls out for, is peace and safety. But then he says, and there will be sudden destruction. And if you think of it, tolerance really embraces many ideas. And it's not just the case like I was talking about being safe and being in the community. Tolerance carries with it. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. It embraces inclusivism. Okay? Because we want everybody to be together. Okay, so inclusivism sounds good, but the problem with that is when we read the Bible, Jesus wasn't inclusive. Okay, he didn't say all whoever wants to come follow me can. He says, no, but whoever follows me, you know, you can choose. That's not what Jesus said. He said the only way to the Father is what? Through me. That sounds exclusive, doesn't it? You can't get any more exclusive than that. And so you can't really embrace inclusivism because of that. The other thing is religious pluralism. That's a very common thing. I know Oprah Winfrey preaches on it lots, and she claims to be a Christian, but you can't. You know, and Rob Bell. Because what they believe is that eventually we're all going to come to enlightenment. We're all going to come to salvation at one point, you know, through God's grace. That's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. Moral relativism. That's another word. This is all part of tolerance, moral relativism. Now, when I talk about moral relativism, there is no such thing as right and wrong. We're living in that. But the problem, if you think of it, if there's no such thing as right and wrong, then there is no such thing as sin and righteousness. Then if there's no such thing as sin and righteousness, there can be no judgment, because what God going to judge you on? You know what I'm saying? Okay, so the reason I'm saying that is because society today have embraced a culture of understanding what we call inclusivism, this moral relativism, and all of this in itself really carries with it trying to be accepting everything. But we no longer do we live in an immoral society, according to them. We live in an amoral society. So I can't say to you, Lauren, you're a female. If Lauren wants to be a male, she can be a male, because it's amoral. Who am I to judge Lauren? Okay, this is what inclusivism does. You know, sex is what you want to be, not who you really are. Marriage doesn't have to be between a man and a woman. We can't say that, because then you're excluding other people who believe different things. And you know, church, the reason I'm making the statement is because, in a sense, we are under the pressure. When we witness the gospel, we are under the pressure of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's good to be aware of it, because I think it's not to make us scared, But it's to make us aware that when we speak, when we preach sin, righteousness, and judgment, we're going to be faced with certain things. But I don't want us, there's a sense where we've got to trust the Holy Spirit not to bow to the pressures of the world. Now, I'm not saying we've got to be hard people that are intolerant and, that's not what I'm saying. I say we've got a higher calling, and this is what I want to share. We've got a higher calling than tolerance. Do you know that? It's love. And I'm going to, but I want to just share just something, because the Bible talks about tolerance in a lot of ways, but it puts it in its own way. So Isaiah says this in Isaiah 5:20. Did I give you that one, Paul? Yeah, good. Woe to those. Now, this is what tolerance does. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Just keep it there for a moment. You think of a church that stands for truth, a church that stands with conviction that we believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe in righteousness. We believe in sin. We believe in judgment. Do you agree with me that the church that preaches that today looks bitter? The world has exchanged sweetness for bitter. If you're that kind of church, man, you are bitter. You are darkness. Think of it. It is like that because you believe in exclusivism. You believe that Jesus is the way. And with that way carries truth. Can I say truth is an absolute statement? If you believe in truth, you believe in absolutes. Now, the danger of the world is that they don't understand that. They don't understand it. Even the Baha'i faith. You know the Baha'i faith? You know what that is? It's a faith that believes in every religion is all one. We're all going to come to the same result. And so you can't reject any faith. But even the Baha'i faith, if you think of it, by logic, sense will also reject you because your faith says that Jesus is the only way. So they can't really include you. Even though they say it verbally, they can't include you. They reject you. And so we've got to be careful. We don't buy into the culture of the world, the spirit of the Antichrist in that sense, is that we look and we see what God has called us. And we need to stand with conviction. We cannot compromise. And but just in line with that, I thought of it. You know, even Jesus, think of it like this. In Matthew, I don't want us to turn there, but Matthew 27, when Jesus was crucified, I think it was verse 15, do you remember who they exchanged for Jesus? Barabbas, right? Barabbas. What was he? He was a murderer. He was, a thief. And he was in prison. What did the people say? We want to set Barabbas free and set the righteous man. Let's crucify him. Isn't that amazing? That's what the world does. And so if it happened to Jesus, let me tell you, it's going to happen today. And I'm not doing this, I'm not even mentioning this to make us scared. What I'm saying is, let's be encouraged. Let's trust in the Holy Spirit's power. Because I know when I step out there, I feel the pressures of the world. I feel those things like, you kind of, in a sense, bow to the pressure of that. Like, wow, you know, you feel like the church appears to be very dogmatic. It appears that we are, what's the word? You know, we reject everything. And it's not the case. It's because we love people that we got to preach the gospel. And I just remembered even like Lauren's uncle once, I was preaching to him. And we got to the conversation about tolerance. And he was saying, but you're quite a obtuse way of thinking. You know, you're very intolerant, you know, of. And I said, but what I actually said to him is, but you know, if you look at it from my angle, if you really believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and I believe that the only way that you're going to come to salvation is through that, would it be less loving of me to try and bring you the gospel than someone who keeps it? If I really loved you, what would I do? And he actually sat and he says, no, I guess you're right. It would be the right thing. If that's your conviction, then it does mean you love me because you're sharing this. And I thought, well, great, I'm glad he caught it. I still haven't got him saved yet, but he grasped something. And so we got to see past tolerance, church. We can't let this spirit of tolerance prevent what we're called to do in a spirit of love. Okay? Because we've got a greater call in tolerance. In Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God, I don't think I gave that one to you, huh? Oh, I did. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that's what tolerance does, really, church. It suppresses the truth. so as we begin to proclaim the gospel, we've got to not bow to the pressures of tolerance. We can't. We call to a higher calling. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, maybe you can go there quickly, Paul. And I've really got a short message this morning. Really, it's about going out and preaching the gospel and preaching it with power and preaching it with conviction. But as I was reading this, I just realized how much our call is this. Let me summarize it for you. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Think of it. God is pleading through you to the world. He's pleading. He's like, imagine, King of the universe is pleading with people. I find that amazing. And he says, pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He didn't say there isn't sin, but he knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And as I was reading that, you know, that's love. Is that tolerance? No, that's redemption. That's love. That's the love of Christ that we have. And as I was reading that, I thought, you know, church, we've got to be careful. We're not going to bow to this. We've got such a high calling. As we go and preach the gospel, we have to preach in power. We have to preach with the conviction of the Spirit. But we can't preach outside the Holy Spirit. And we need to have the same conviction when we go. That doesn't mean we got to tell everybody, hey, you're a sinner, you need to get right. We obviously need to be led by the Spirit. But everything we do and say needs to be led. That as we lead, that the people find a place of conviction. They find that there's a conviction of sin, there's a conviction of righteousness, and there's a conviction of God's judgment one day through us. I know it sounds hard. I hope I'm not coming across too hard, but this is pure love. This is a love that expresses beyond that, God, your wrath is upon the world, but actually it's upon Jesus for those who receive Christ, that you have the escape clause being Jesus. He's our redemption. And so we're not preaching judgment without redemption. We're not preaching sin without forgiveness. We're not preaching law without grace. We're not preaching death without salvation. And so we got to be careful. We're not feeling the pressure that the world has to bring for us. Amen? Are you guys ready to do this? Are you ready to go and preach the gospel? I've really got a short message this morning. But I sometimes feel we need to make a statement in our hearts and to run with the conviction so we don't bow to the pressures of the world. Amen. Cool. I want to pray this over. Maybe let's, because I'm really, we're trusting the Holy Spirit. A message can't bring this to you. It's the Holy Spirit that's got to do it. He's the one who empowers. And so let's stand this morning and just say, God, I want your Spirit this morning. I want your Spirit to move in me that I become a witness. If Jesus said this to the disciples, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Oh, man, we got to wait in God. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we have a call, that you haven't just saved us, Jesus, but that you've set us on a mission. When you said, go and make disciples, Lord, you knew that with that carried the weight of preaching sin, of righteousness and judgment. Lord, you knew that in part of our discipling other people would be that, which, Lord, that we would be able to be a people that really bring people to the understanding and the knowledge that our God is holy. Lord, your word even said this morning, as we proclaimed you holy, Jesus, I pray that we would not only proclaim it, Lord, but as we walk out, we would walk out as people who proclaim that holiness in our lifestyles, Lord, in our words, in our actions, wherever we go, Lord, that your holiness would be seen. And so, Father, I want to pray this morning as we're totally dependent on your Spirit. Lord, we know that it's your Spirit that's going to do the work. Lord, we know we can't convince people. We know your Holy Spirit does it, but he works through us. And so, Father, I want to pray, won't you come, Jesus, as we trust in you, not in our flesh, not in our abilities or our strengths, Lord, not in our way of doing things or pragmatisms or programs, but Lord, that we'd be a people that depend on your Spirit. Lord, won't you come and just fill our hearts? Lord, we want to be a people that truly witness to you, Jesus. We want to be your witnesses. But Lord, we know we can't witness without you witnessing with us first, Jesus. And so, Father, I want to pray for your church this morning. I pray that we will not bow
to the pressures of the world. Lord, we will not bow to this thing called tolerance and these things that the world want to throw upon us to make us include. Lord, you even said that I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, really. And Lord, as your word is spoken, it is like that two-edged sword that pierces the division of soul and spirit. Lord, that it divides the heart and it sets people to the conviction that I must be saved. And Lord, even as Peter stood up on the day of Acts when the Holy Spirit came, he preached that very message. He said, this Jesus who you crucified, Lord, he brought the message of the gospel to those that they could see that your righteousness and your and sin, Lord, and judgment would come. And so, Father, we want to thank you for that. Thank you that you've given us this message. And yes, Lord, it has to be a message that we have to have boldness in, Lord. And I want to pray for your church that we'd be bold, Lord, that we won't be people cowering under the pressures of the world, but that we would stand with conviction because we know who our God is. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, short and sweet this morning. But I pray that you'd stay with us. Because I'm so short, let's have a long coffee time together. Amen. Amen. Cool.